Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 1, St. Paul says this, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. We live in a time where torching and burning cities is free speech, and where Christians who speak the word of God are violent. We live in a time when everyone can choose their own pronouns except God himself. We live in a time that suppresses the truth, that makes everyone guilty for things that they had not done because they were not alive to do them. And those who actually commit wrong, they are innocent. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They suppress this truth because the truth finds them guilty. He continues, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And so they are without excuse," he says. They know who God is. They know his works. And yet they suppress it. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." This is remarkable what St. Paul isolates as the distinguishing factor between those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous, those who are Christians and those who are pagans. And that is the term that St. Paul would use, pagan. The distinguishing factor is not that we know God and they don't. We all know God. The distinguishing factor is that they do not give thanks to him. They do not honor him through thanksgiving. Now, I'm sure you know plenty of modern pagans who are thankful for the things that they have, or the things that they've been able to accomplish, perhaps even just their family and friends. But the Bible has a very different understanding of what thanksgiving is than what we mean by thanksgiving. It distinguishes between gratitude and giving thanks. Gratitude is acknowledging the goodness of a gift. Thanksgiving is acknowledging the goodness of the giver. And so you can begin to see now how the people in St. Paul's day could be grateful for the gifts and works of God in creation, but they do not give him thanks. They do not see that he is the one who stands behind them. He is the one who brings all of these things about. And so St. Paul continues, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." That is to say, by their not giving thanks to the good creator for the goodness of his creation, they committed idolatry. So the question is not, will you worship or will you not worship? The question is, whom will you worship? Will you worship the created things, or will you worship the God who is good? And so all of those who are not gathering around God's word, his sacraments, who come to give thanks to what he has done, they are worshiping created things. And you can see this by what they do when everyone else gathers to give thanks to the good creator. They put on a pedestal men and worship at the altar of football or baseball or some other kind of sport. They worship at the altar of other created things, perhaps sleeping in the altar of the pillow. That is where they bow down. That is where they give thanks. That is what they acknowledge to be good. Not so for those who truly give thanks. Those who truly give thanks acknowledge not just the goodness of the gift, but the goodness of the one who gives it. And so we have this account of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. To distinguish those who are grateful from those who give thanks. Certainly, all were grateful to receive back life and limb, to be taken away out from their leprous community, to join again into the community of everyone else, to go back to their families, to be accepted. They had, in the meantime, created their own community, a community that accepted one another, even so far as the Jews accepting a Samaritan whom they hated. Jesus comes in the midst of this, and he tells them to show themselves to the priests, the command that the book of Leviticus gives to all those who would be cleansed from leprosy. And as they are running to show themselves to the priests, all of them are cleansed. Much like all the world has been atoned for by the all-availing sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they accept it as coming from Jesus or not, or that it is a reality in their minds, it is a reality, it is truth. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. So as they were cleansed, running to show themselves to the priests, one stops dead in his tracks. He returns to the feet of Jesus, bowing down, falling flat on his face to give thanks. He is not thanking him simply for being cleansed. He is acknowledging that he, Jesus, is the one who did it. That Jesus is good. And God must be praised there. At Jesus' feet. And Jesus says to him, your faith has saved you. Not just made him well, but saved him. For all of our illnesses, all of our lacks in this life, they're nothing other than sin being made manifest in our bodies. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. the failure of our bodies. These are all indications of sin being worked out and wrought in our flesh. As St. Paul says, the works of the flesh are made evident. That is, they can be seen, just as our illnesses, just as all of the things that he describes. They are actions that are done. But the fruit of the Spirit, St. Paul says, the contradiction to the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit is also done. To have love and peace and patience in the midst of dissensions and quarrels and fits of anger. To have faithfulness in the midst of sexual immorality, idolatry. To have reasonableness or gentleness in the midst of wrath. All of these things, the fruit of the Spirit, is made evident in how we respond to those who know God but suppress the truth, to those who know God but do not give him thanks. You see, St. Paul is calling us to be different, to be set apart, not better in the way that the world counts better, but different, distinguishable. That when those who would suppress the truth among us begin to take sights of what we say and what we do, that we would let the Spirit rule in our hearts and in our minds and thus in our bodies. That we would see the goodness of God behind what he commands, not seeing him as some cosmic killjoy, but someone who knows what he's doing and knows what he is talking about, and thus better to side with God than with the masses of man. Are we people, God's people, those who are known for giving thanks, or are we known for those as only those who are grateful for the good gifts that we have? Are we known for our thanksgiving and acknowledgement of the one who is good, despite our present circumstances? Or are we known by only being thankful because of what we have? Since we are God's people, we are to be giving thanks, acknowledging the one who is good, despite our circumstances. As St. Paul will say later in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed to you on the last day." Or as Joseph said to his brothers, "What you intended for evil, God worked for good, because he is good." You get the distinct impression that Joseph gave thanks even in the midst of prison, even at the bottom of the pit. We live in a time, in an age, where God is not acknowledged as good. let us not be persuaded to follow in their footsteps, but rather to kneel face to the ground to give thanks to Jesus, who is good and who works all things for good for those who love God in Christ Jesus. That whether you are battling back pain or hip pain, cancer or unfaithful children and grandchildren, that God nevertheless is good. And you can give thanks to him. And you can cash in on his promises, making you bold to speak the truth that is found in his word. Let us be known in the world as those who give thanks, as those who have joy despite our present circumstances. Let us laugh, let us sing, let us rejoice always, for the Lord is at hand. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting.
Amen.